Sayora Anatha Pa Jayo Kunta Vihari Jayo Ratha Anatha Pa Jayo Kunta Vihari Kapisana Panapa Jayogiri Paratari Jayogiri Paratari Kopisana palapa Jayogiri paradari Jayogiri paradari Yashodanandana Jayo Braja Janaramjana Yashodanandana Jayo Braja Janaramjana Jayo Braja Janaramjana Yamuna Tiravanachari Jayo Kunja Vihari Jayo Yamuna Tiravanachari Jayo Kunja Vihari Jayo Radha Madhava Jayo Kunja Vihari Jaya Om Vishnupati Paramahansa Parivraja Kacharya Totarashatai Sivakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Nantakoti Vashnava Prinda Ki Nitai Gaur Premanande All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees all glories to the assembled devotees All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Narayanam namaskritiam Naram chaiva narotamam Devim sarasvatim vyasam Tato jayamudiraye Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, chapter 29, talks between Narada and King Prachinavarhi, text 35. Arte hya vidya mane pi samshritir nani vartate manasa linga rupena swapne vicharato yatha Arthe hya vidya mane pi samshri tirnani bharatate manasa linga rupena swapne vicharato yatha Arthe hya vidya mane pi samsritir nani vartate manasa linga rupena swapne vicharato yatha Contract. Arate, factual cause, factual cause. He, certainly, avidyamane, not existing. Api, although, samsritihi, material existence. Na, not, nivartate, ceases, manasa, by the mind, linga rupena, by subtle form, swapne, in a dream, vicharataha, acting, yata, as. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sometimes we suffer because we see a tiger in a dream or a snake in a vision. But actually, there is neither a tiger nor a snake. Thus, we create some situation in a subtle form and suffer the consequences. These sufferings cannot be mitigated unless we are awakened from our dream. You can repeat the translation. Sometimes we suffer because we see a tiger in a dream or a snake in a vision. But actually, there is neither a tiger nor a snake. Thus, we create some situation in a subtle form and suffer the consequences. These sufferings cannot be mitigated unless we are awakened from our dream. Purport. As stated in the Vedas, the living entity is always separate from two kinds of material bodies, the subtle and the gross. All our sufferings are due to these material bodies. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita 2:14. Matra sparshas tu kaunteya sitoshna sukha dukkada agamma paino nityas tam stitiksha so bharata. O son of Kunti, the no permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception, O Skyan of Bharat, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. Lord Krishna thus informed Arjuna that all the distresses brought about by the body come and go. One has to learn how to tolerate them. Material existence is the cause of all our sufferings, for we do not suffer once we are out of the material condition. The Vedas, therefore, enjoin that one should factually understand that he is not material, but is actually Brahman. Aham Brahmasmi. This understanding cannot be fully realized unless one is engaged in Brahman activities, namely devotional service. To get free from the material conditions, one has to take to Krishna consciousness. That is the only remedy. Artehya vidya mane pi sam sritirna nivartate manasa linga rupena swamne vicharato yata. Sometimes we suffer because we see a tiger in a dream or a snake in a vision. But actually there is neither a tiger nor a snake. Thus, we create some situation in a subtle form and suffer the consequences. These sufferings cannot be mitigated unless we are awakened from our dream. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnanam Jana Salakaya Chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Mukam karoti vachalam pangulam gayate girim yat kripatam aham bande shri gurum dinatarnam. Panchakalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Well, thanks everyone for coming to Srimad Bhagavatam class. So I ask for your blessings so we can speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. So this verse is making a nice bridge to understand our condition. So it's giving the example of the dream. And if someone is dreaming that a tiger is going to eat him, and we are next to that person, and the person is screaming, "A tiger, a tiger!" But we know he's sleeping. What's the solution? So we can enter in the dream and help the person. Some people do like that. They can enter in dreams. And we can enter in the dream and appear and say, I'm going to save you. We have to kill the tiger. We need more help. And enter in the dream, get involved in the dream, and maybe save the person. Or we can give a permanent solution and just bring some glass of water and pour on the head. He will away. What's going on? So where is the tiger? So that's the permanent solution that Srila Prabhupada is always talking about when he is telling everyone, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And sometimes Prabhupada is pointing out to the different isms, like socialism, humanism, like how different people develop some expanded, and they expand their selfishness toward other living entities, and they want to help. But that help, Prabhupada said, that is the same like in a dream, like trying to help someone in a dream cannot bring a permanent solution, and it's not addressing the cause of suffering. It's practically, it's like a, because my English, I don't know how many words I have to use the word. It's foolishness. That's it. I learned from Prabhupada English. So that's foolishness, is to try to help, you know, in that way only. Of course, we understand we may give some, even Hare Krishna movement may give some help to the body and the mind, but finally the only help is to awake that jiva, the living entity, to reality. And that reality is Krishna consciousness, which means that there is not nothing apart from Krishna. When we see things separated from Krishna, and that means that means suffering and Maya. We reject the Lord. That all the suffering, the fearness that we experience is coming because we are not seeing reality. We are we mistake reality with different phantasmagoria. It's another word, the Prabhupada is phantasmagoria, to explain that this is also a dream. Therefore, whatever we are experiencing by our senses is a kind of dream or illusion. We know that Bhumirapona Lova Yuka Manu Buddhi Evachadi, this body and the universe is composed of elements. And the elements are eternal, like earth, fire, water, liquids, etc. They are eternal, but the combination of this matter is not eternal. And that's where, according to the different perception of the different bodies, we perceive the world according to those temporal appearance, agama paino nityas. So matters take different forms, and those forms are giving impressions in us through our sense perception, and we are translating that perception as happiness and distress. So matras parshas tu kaunteya sitoshna sukha dukada. So these perceptions are compared to winter and summer seasons. Like during winter time, we usually, especially if you are from Chicago, you don't take your summer clothes and throw it away. In the same way, during summertime, you don't take all your winter clothes and say, okay, it's too hot now, so what is the use of keeping this cloth from winter time? I will throw it away, because it doesn't seem that it will come. Winter will come anyway. So not because you have some intelligence, you know that winter may come. So you keep your winter cloth, and you know that summer will go away. In the same way, winter time, you know that summer will come somehow or other by time. So in the same way, a person who is called Dhira, who is sober and is able to understand the mechanics of life, he won't become disturbed during dukkha or affliction, when he's experiencing some suffering, or during happiness, he won't become elated, like very externally, like happy, like a full child. Maybe happy because he's receiving thansina, and the next time he's crying. So, because he understands happiness and distress, so there's nothing to really celebrate now, because the next time will come suffering. Like the king that wanted to. I don't remember the story exactly, but somehow or other he, I don't know if you remember. Yeah, the opposite effect of happiness and distress, in order to keep a cool mind. So he finally got an intelligent person who gave him a coin. They have two faces, and only said, "This will end soon." So when he was happy, he will read, and he will say, this will end very soon. So it will keep him okay, and become very much happy and content with that. And then when he was experiencing suffering, he will read, "This will end very soon." So it will give some hope. And this is a basic instruction in Bhagavad Gita. It's like the basics is to learn to tolerate this, because this is just a dream, but we cannot awake right away. So sometimes we can be dreaming, we can be in a dream and also know that we are dreaming. We know, okay, this is a dream, but still we cannot wake up. So we have to get away to awake ourselves, but we don't try to confuse by the dream. Okay, this is a dream. So in the same way, we are experiencing this happiness and distress, and we come, we try to understand. Okay, this will end very soon. This is not the ultimate reality. Just try to tolerate that is the advice of Krishna. Like there are many new groups of yoga, metaphysics, many things that give so-called spiritual techniques to counteract temporal situations. They try to say somehow or other that there is a way to change this stressful situation into a wonderful situation by changing some magic words or whatever. So the idea of a spiritual master that many people have is someone who will come and will solve your problems, but not your real problems, but will solve your dream problems. So if you don't have a job, you go to those people and they will say, okay, we will do a sacrifice so you can get a job. And then if you don't have I go to distribute books to Mexican neighborhoods, and there are many temples of places where you can bring back your loving girl or man. You can bring, if he or she gave up on you, then you can pay someone, you pay some money, and they will make something that you will get back your lover. These are the solutions from the dream. And of course, we see that the people who is doing that, they are getting more suffering. Like we see in the previous verses, it's like you have a weight here, a box, very heavy, and then you change to another place. That is the solutions we are getting in the material platform. Just changing the weight of our own punjana, evadmakri, tambivipakam, our own karma. We are eating our own activities, and then we are trying to change where we are holding it. So basically, material world, the only solution is, where do you want to suffer? How do you want to pay your karma? Like, for example, if you want to have a car, okay, you are choosing to a tool to pay your karma, to suffer in a car. Others choose bicycle, others choose a motor car, others an airplane. But somehow or other, these are tools that will bring you the suffering that is waiting for you. And also we choose even people. If we want to live with someone, like get married, then we are getting the person who we will share our miseries and some happiness. But it's just like that. So you are, if you are intelligent, you know, I'm inviting you to my suffering. Can we share our suffering and our happiness? It's not that. And we say, come and live with me, that I will make you happy. No. We will share our distress and happiness. And then if you are Krishna consciousness, you can overcome that. So, anarto pashanam sakshat bhakti yogam adoksaje. That the scripture said that all these suffering or anarthas that we have that are causing suffering are only counteracted by Krishna consciousness, by practicing bhakti yoga. Therefore, Srila Vyasadeva compiled all the Vedic scriptures just to awaken the living entity. And Prabhupada translated those literature in very concise way, just to give the permanent solution of Krishna consciousness. So the first step is like we are having here is to understand that we are in a dream, and this is not this is either a happy dream for some time or a nightmare. But otherwise, it's the same. So when you have a good dream or bad dream, it's just a dream. So either way, you are experiencing happiness or distress. Translated into a spiritual language means suffering, happiness and distress. And to understand that is the basic step of Krishna consciousness. First, to understand why I am suffering. If there is not that understanding, there is no question or no need of practicing a spiritual life. In Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada explained that in the introduction. The Bhagavad Gita is spoken for people who are asking that question. Why I am suffering? And this also is not like in book distribution where some people are more experiencing some happiness and they may say, I'm not suffering. So, but an intelligent person understands that all the happiness we may experience here is threatened by time. So it's not real happiness. It's just a part of a dream. It's a question of when I wake up, I have to take responsibility for my poor reality. Like some people, they have dreams, they are suffering, and when they have dreams, they have a nice dream, for example, that they are dreaming that I am a rich person. And when they wake up, they see, oh, I am living in this house, I am poor. So they become despondent. So basically, to think we are happy materially, so that's a question of time that we will wake up to the reality that we are not happy. We are in a very difficult situation because at any time we don't know what is coming. We are in complete ignorance. And we don't know even what we'll experience next second, happiness or distress. This is our situation is very dangerous, and we don't know how much we are going to live in this body, how long time. And we have just a little time to understand this reality before we enter in another dream. So we have a little time to wake up. If we don't wake up in that little time, next body, next dream, and life after life. So that's Mataraj Parasastu Kaunteya Sitoshna Sukha Dukada Agama Painonitya Stamti Tiksha Bharata. So the main idea is to understand that we have to just tolerate and practice a spiritual life. Prabhupada said, and the last, to get free from material conditions, one has to take to Krishna consciousness. That is the only remedy. This understanding cannot be fully realized unless one is engaged in Brahman activities. So these activities, spiritual activities, is the only way to awaken us. And spiritual activities means first to take shelter of an awakened person, of a person who is awake. This is the first step in a spiritual life, to take shelter. There are 64 injunctions. But the first is, like yesterday, Prabhupada was explaining, not surrender. So that's the first. I surrender because I really don't know how to manage this dream. I completely confused No, Karpanya Dosho Pahata Swabhava. I confuse, and I know that I'm suffering because of my weakness, that I'm getting completely identified with this dream. Therefore, Prapanam, no? I'm surrendering. I'm Shishya, I'm trying to become a Shishya, a disciple, to receive instructions to how to get out of this dream. This is the next step when we realize we are suffering, to ask for help. Like if you realize you are in a fire, there is a fire here, the first step is to realize that there is a fire. No, just say, no, this is nothing. This is just a smog. Or someone else will take care. This is a problem for the cook. They will take care. No, but the fire is affecting everyone. So by seeing one person suffering from a fire, you know that this also will affect me. So the next step is to ask for help. You can try to escape, but especially if you are in a building, you may die trying to escape. So this material world is it's a forest fire. So people are lida loca. Everyone is afflicted by this samsara dava anala. It's a forest fire. And if you try to escape, it's very difficult. It's durga. It's a very difficult place to get out by yourself. So the first step is to call the firefighters to come and help. So first step in spiritual life is understand where we are, what is our condition, and then ask for help to the spiritual master. And then everything will come, will follow that. And just to understand that, we'll take Prabhupada said, even to understand that we are suffering, we are not this body, we are spiritual souls, it can take a lot. Because we have to realize that Prabhupada said, this understanding cannot be fully realized unless one is engaged in Brahman activities. So there is no way to realize it if there is no practice, spiritual practices, under guidance. So bona fide spiritual practice. And through practices, we can experience all kinds of situations. When we take a service for some time, we will experience that. We will start having some realizations, because any service in the name of Krishna will bring some difficulties. Even just sweep the temple floor, or going to book distribution, or worshiping the deity, because we are in this still dreaming, we experience suffering in the body, or the situation, someone is not treating me nice, whatever, even in spiritual cycles. And then we have to just follow the instruction. The spiritual master will go on year after year till death come. Just follow that instruction, and by following in the way we get so many realizations that we may help us to understand that we are not this body. We have a relationship with Krishna, and this place is illusion. It's not our real place, and it's a place of suffering. So then, that's the easy way of Krishna consciousness, that is very practical. There are, from the first time you come to temple, you can ask for engagement. If you want to have a spiritual realization, just open your mouth and say, so how can I serve Krishna? And then there will come so many services. Meanwhile, if we don't do that, it's because still we didn't understand still that we are suffering. So we want to continue with material activities. So all of you are practicing spiritual activity. I think everyone should have their own small or big realizations of the material world that give impetus to focus more on a spiritual life. So if there are any comment,
to be sober in the face of duality and not being elated or disturbed, it makes a person wonder, what is the happiness of a devotee? Because if he's just equipoised in the material world, then where is the happiness coming from? And if we give the answer, it comes from rendering service to Krishna. And it can...
Well, you said devotee, but there are many types of devotee, the practicing devotee. So, neophyte devotee, practitioner. If he's not self-realized, no? Yes, then the happiness that a devotee may experience, like you say, sometimes he may be confused. That happiness, like with, for example, if sometimes happiness comes from just from recognition, then if you cook something nice, then everyone glorifies you. Oh, you're really good cook, so you become happy. But the next day, or the next meal, no, like in breakfast, everyone glorifies you. But then, come afternoon, lunch, someone say, no, this is too spicy. And then unhappiness. No? The same with some book distribution. No? How was book distribution today? Yeah, Prabhu, I gave 100 books. Prabhu, you're fired up. So that's great. And you feel like comfortable. Everyone asks, can you tell me some pastimes? And next day, you come. How many books you distribute? I find many nice people today. And you try to avoid the question. And you say, well, the quality of the service is what counts. And you feel uncomfortable. You know? Okay, but tell me how many books. Okay, I gave 3 books. How many hours? I did 6 hours. So then nobody asks any more questions. Shut up. So either for a practitioner, sometimes the happiness may come for these things at the beginning. So if he is performing nicely, he's a happy devotee. Because he's expert, has good skills, so everyone is happy with him. And on the other side, other devotee, he's a beginner also, and he's suffering because he cannot do anything well. He's cleaning, and then comes someone and says, Prabhu, I told you to clean the temple floor. So I did. No, you didn't do it. Look at this. And then he's, oh my God. And then he's cooking and all the food is burned. And everyone is like, who cooked today? Well, be more careful. So it's a struggle. That's spiritual life. But both are the same. The one who's experiencing happiness and the other are wrong in the conception of happiness. Because both are experiencing happiness and distress, which are conducted under the influence of time. It's a happiness that can go at any moment, and a distress that also can go at any moment. You just say, don't worry, Prabhu. If you cook, don't worry, we love you. And also, actually, you're very good at this. I saw you chanting, and you look very focused. And then you feel, oh, yes, actually, I'm happy in this temple. So this is the wrong happiness. So what is the happiness we can get? According to my what we see from these verses, like titiksha sabharata, is just to first, if we are not still experiencing a relationship with Krishna deep, we just have a theoretical knowledge that we are serving Krishna, but at least we can, the practitioner can obtain some understanding that will bring a strength or enthusiasm to practice the spiritual life, that is to be happy or laugh at the mechanism of life, of the happiness and distress. First start realizing that first of all, that all my attempts before I start practicing Krishna consciousness were just trying to get something from a dream. And any time I caught myself getting this happiness or distress, I know that that is temporal. So like the Avanti Brahmana, so he could understand, and he, before the first realization he got was that Nayan Janome Sukaduka Hetu, that this happiness and distress is not coming from demigod, from these people, from these devotees, from that and that. It's just in my mind. And he was almost like laughing at that, like getting relief, happiness to know that what he was experiencing, it was just all the suffering in his mind. So first thing, Sadaka can understand that it's just my wrong perception, the happiness and distress and experience even in devotional service. And then, at least, if we are sincere, happiness really will come. This is an understanding that can give impetus or some satisfaction to understand, okay, here is nowhere I have to look. And then the first happiness that we can experience is just to do the service to the spiritual master and to know that he is somehow or other pleased with our service. And that can give the impetus to continue. That there are very basic instructions in spiritual life, and if we know that our spiritual master somehow or other is satisfied with that, it brings happiness. And it should bring distress to know that he's not pleased, or to know that we are doing something that is not pleasing to Prabhupada or pleasing to... And that's very basic also, that to... because if we don't chant our rounds, we should be sad. And we are just at the beginning, at least, some devotees experience. I know like new people, because when I was in Argentina, many new bhaktas, I was seeing how they were coming from a very distressed life and then start chanting Hare Krishna. And there was some genuine happiness I could see just by they were doing practice in their sadhana and then pleasing even the other devotees. And they were experiencing some happiness from the chanting of the Maha Mantra. If we don't experience any happiness, it's impossible we continue chanting. Some happiness we have to be experienced. That we may be shadows or like that, but it has to do with spiritual life. Whatever little happiness we get from the chanting of Hare Krishna, from spiritual activities. Not because someone say you are chanting nicely like that, but because we know there is an instruction. You complete 16 rounds, at least some spiritual happiness can come by fulfilling that instruction and experiencing that I'm repeating these words and I'm getting a taste to do it the next day, not just only for obligation, but there are a little taste, and also to perform activities. Otherwise, why devotees continue after year practicing devotional service? Sometimes in society that some devotees, they practice devotional service or bhaktas, they do very strong devotional service for 2-3 years, like distributing books, 12 hours a day and doing so many things, and sometimes they don't get any appreciation, and still they continue. So something should be there that is very tiny, but that very tiny, tiny, tiny happiness keep that devotee practicing spiritual life. While material life, any time we experience some distress, we change activity. We change any time, not like with a son, relationships, any time, but this devotional service, we see even devotees are struggling and they keep doing the same. The same mistake also. But they keep doing the chanting, no? Every day chanting, every day worshiping the deity. And sometimes they are not experiencing the full happiness. But there is some little happiness that is better than what were they experienced before. So it was I have that experience. So very little. And one knows that there is a long way to go. Especially if we read the books, or we hear other devotees, or we see the life of other devotees, and you say, okay, I have a long way to go. I'm not experiencing even a particle, nothing compared to the happiness other fellows of me are experiencing, but that little happiness and experience, I consider that is helping me in spiritual life. So it's a higher taste. Otherwise, I don't know, only a crazy man will practice devotional service. If you are suffering, you have to give up the association of the body if we are not experiencing any happiness. Or we cannot recognize the happiness there. The devotees, they teach to become, that we should be grateful also. Even for the little service we get, so by hearing from devotees who are enthusiastic like that, we hear. And we start acknowledging that we are actually very fortunate. Now, the happiness is around us, but we cannot perceive that. We are just not perceiving that, but it's there. And it's not a happiness that is only the happiness of prema bhakti or bhava bhakti. It's just happiness that comes from the very beginning. It's simple. You can add more. Maybe. Do you agree? Or yes. Makes sense. Okay. Thanks.
Hare Krishna. So my question is about sincerity, and we recently heard this example that sometimes with the creeper of devotion, the weeds are also growing. And we can be watering the weeds, holding on to the weeds, thinking, oh, this is similar to dreaming almost. You know, we have some conception in our minds and we think, oh, I'm being very sincere. And so for oneself, what should be the test of how sincere am I really in our practical application of devotional service? So we don't hold on to our weeds, we don't hold on to our misconceptions, you know.
Prabhupada said that we can taste ourselves by how much we become free from sexual desire. It's very easy to recognize. If one is sincere, no? You're saying. So, if this is increasing, we might be watering other things. Is it decreasing, the fever? Then we know it's working. If not, we have to see, because chanting Hare Krishna, sometimes we are watering our material desires. This is a touchstone, Mahamantra. We fulfill all your desires. So we can chant Hare Krishna, but meditating not in like the Prabhupada mood. Like he explained, we are chanting Hare Krishna to ask for service. No? Like a child crying, we are in a helpless situation. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. We want to go back to Godhead, and we are praying. But if we can be also chanting Hare Krishna, and we are another mood, like, oh, Krishna, yes, when will that day be mine when devotees recognize me? When will that day be mine, when I will do nice my service so everyone will see who I am? When will the day be mine, when I will have many disciples? Or like that, no? When will the day be mine when I will have a nice house, and a very nice place, and a very small place with an altar for you? And then I will have video games here. That. And the Hare Krishna, yes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, yes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Or when this lady or this man will get say yes to me, so I will marry with him or with her. Say Hare Krishna, yes, there is hope. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Huh? Yeah, that's how it is. Hare Krishna, so life is getting well. You know? No, like there are many ways to water. So then we get that, but we don't get Krishna. No? And finally that is under the purview of time, you know? Suffering. So we were sincere, whatever, we know our consciousness. You know? It's easy to know where you are. Like you read Madhurya Kadambini, if you pass from Bhajana Kriya without stopping, you are not sincere when you are reading Madhurya Kadambini. If you pass and you say, here someone is speaking about someone else, means that you are like Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur in his level, or you are not sincere. Because there he's talking about all the problems that Sadaka has. And if you identify with that, it helps. But we can also imagine that we are advancing like that. It's compared like a tree. The other day I saw a picture. There is a tree, a tall tree, and there is a very small root under the tree. And then there is a very small tree, and there is a big root under, like very strong. So Satchinanda Swami, in an article, is explaining about that. When we start the devotional service, sometimes we see some devotees, they come to Krishna consciousness and they go, they advance very fast, and others go very slow. But we don't know never what's going on, but we can know by the roots. So how we are growing in our Krishna consciousness. So we can grow in the external, we can become a big tree. And everyone can appreciate that. But how our roots should be proportional. You cannot have a very tall, high tree and a very short root. The roots are the foundation of Krishna consciousness, the pure chanting without offenses, or the motivations also, what are our real motivations. So we can come and by the external doing very nicely, we learn all the basics of how to socialize with devotees, we come leading a preaching program, whatever, and become very successful, and then everyone will see, here's a big tree, it's true, it's a big tree. But when a storm comes, a very strong wind, that big tree falls immediately. Because it doesn't have any roots, strong roots. But the other, there may be many small trees, and they are not affected because they have the strong roots. So that's also sincerity, to see how we are growing. We're growing inside and outside, or just only outside. Then it's dangerous. Then once the trees, then you cannot do anything to grow the roots later. Once you start growing only in that way. So that's all with the chanting. We can chant just to grow up in the eyes of everyone, or we can chant to grow inside. Only the spiritual master will notice that and other devotees. But when provoking situations come, those small trees or even big trees, if they have deep root, they stay there. After the storm, you see many trees fall, but you see like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 trees there. So even in a spiritual society, sometimes there is a big storm, and then you see like many big trees fall down, but you see other trees are there still after many, many years. And therefore, Prabhupada said that we should be surprised how devotees are staying in Krishna consciousness, and not surprised because devotees are leaving. So therefore, we praise our spiritual master, our sannyasi, and the devotees who have been practicing for 40, 50 years, and still they are there. Many crises, they keep going, chanting. They have this required faith. No? Chanting, one day I will get my prema. One day. Okay. It's Italian. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.